illustrations before. And today Rinpoche is going to give just a general explanation of the four opponent powers. Just going, you know, back to the 35 Buddhist teachings, we brushed over it really quickly. And today Rinpoche is just going to go into it a little bit more, and then we'll have time for questions and answers and so forth. So let's get started with the Heart Sutra. I hope everybody's doing well. Rinpoche is doing well, and thank you all for coming. And welcome to the Chen Rezig Tibetan Buddhist Center live Zoom of Namgyal Kensur Geshe Wandok Lobsang Tenzin's teaching today on the four opponent powers. So let's get started with the Heart Sutra. The Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge. Thus have I heard, once the Blessed One was dwelling in Rajagriha at Vulture Peak Mountain together with a great gathering of the Sangha of monks and a great gathering of the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One entered the samadhi that expresses the Dharma called profound illumination, and at the same time, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, while practicing the profound Prajnaparamita, saw in this way, he saw the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Then, through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son or daughter of noble family trained who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita? Addressed in this way, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, said to Venerable Shariputra, O Shariputra, a son or daughter of noble family who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita should see in this way, seeing the five skandhas be empty of nature. Form is emptiness, emptiness also is form, emptiness is no other than form, form is no other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, perception, form, and consciousness are emptiness. Thus, Shariputra, all dharmas are emptiness. There are no characteristics. There is no birth and no cessation. There is no impurity and no purity. There is no decrease and no increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no dharmas, no eye dot two up to no mind dot two, no mind consciousness dot two, no ignorance, no end or ignorance up to no old age and death, no end of old age and death, no suffering, no origin of suffering, no cessation of suffering, no path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since the Bodhisattvas have no attainment, they abide by means of Prajnaparamita. Since there is no obscuration of mind, there is no fear. They transcend falsity and attain complete Nirvana. All the Buddhas of the three times, by means of Prajnaparamita, fully awaken to unsurpassable, true, complete enlightenment. Therefore, the great mantra of Prajnaparamita, the mantra of great insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequal mantra, the mantra that calms all suffering, should be known as true, since there is no deception. The Prajnaparamita mantra is said in this way: Teata Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangate Bodhisoha. Thus, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva should train in the profound Prajnaparamita. Then, the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and praised Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, good, good, O son of noble family. Thus it is, O son of noble family. Thus it is. One should practice the profound Prajnaparamita just as you have taught, and all the Tathagatas will rejoice. And the Blessed One had said this, Venerable Shariputra and Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, that whole assembly in the world with its gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One. Lalanya bene jo don bane lo je do jo ma i do do jen jo ba bo la ma i bo jen zi ne zo man ro zo la ja ze lo Agasamara da Chandra Samara Yavedi Ada Onga de Gate Paragate Parasanga de Padiso Baba Ganjosani Gaye de Medoji Shabodaji Mibodaji Shabodaji Nagi Baji Medumeja Danji Shadinga Yezo Kendo Nyage Jaja Wada Medo Nabedi Nande Wada Tomma Dunji Bunzon Dunjodi Aji De Jande Nade Leyo. The fundamental ground descended with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas High, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies in massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready. Shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide. Yeah. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious guru. Yedam guru radha madala gane radha yami. Yadangari yadamna yadu vado dani yadu yedagi jene jiveda nani jala vete zanje jubaju. The Jutsen Garde, the Jantra Dan Senche, the Den Garshene, the Deepa Shag Den, the Natsu, the Megewa Dan Jawi Den Garshene, Nicha.
Deepa Shag Den, that's in the Kosu Sola Den, the Matu, Deepa Shag Tuayomaro,
bless you.
Ten Solon, Ten Jutos, Kosu Sola Den, the Deepa Shag was.
So when we look at the four opponent powers, we have them listed normally. I'm going to use two different types of translation, the one that's normally used and then one that Art Engel uses. I really like his lexicon a lot. I think he's very literal with some of the terminology. So I'm going to use the ones we normally would use. And then also the ones that I've found just in some looking at some of the four opponent powers. So the first is the power of the basis. The second is the power of regret. The third is the commitment. And the fourth is the power of antidote. So these are the four opponent powers. Another way to say them is the support force, the uprooting force, the force of turning back from misdeeds, and the antidote force. So these four opponent powers are called also counter agents. So counter agents, like the opponent to the negativity created, that which counters, the counter agent to the negativity. So we begin with the first basis, which is the power of basis or the support force, as I've seen now, the supporting force, the basis of force. And it's one, because we're acknowledging our downfalls, when we've committed some sort of misdeed, we have committed them in relation to the objects of refuge, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, or towards sentient beings. So it's for this reason that at this point, the power of basis is going for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and generating bodhicitta. So the reason for this, Rinpoche said, is that without this basis of the three jewels, we have nothing to acknowledge our downfalls to. So it acts as a basis of acknowledgement of our downfalls too. So the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, we're acknowledging it too. And then it's also acting as the basis to which we may have committed non-virtue. So towards the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, then we generate bodhicitta for the wish to become a Buddha for the sake of sentient beings, because we do non-virtue in relation to sentient beings. And it's because of that, bad karma is committed against the Buddha and all sentient beings. And this force is directed towards the objects, those objects. So because this force consists of taking refuge and generating the mind that aspires to enlightenment, these two actions are directed towards the objects that we normally created non-virtue towards. So we created non-virtue towards the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So now we're taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. We've created non-virtue towards sentient beings. So now we're generating the mind that aspires to enlightenment, the wish to free them all, the wish to become a Buddha for the sake of all of them. So this then changes. This becomes a that which isn't concordant with the cause. So it's like the opposite. Wishing that harm on sentient beings, the opposite would be to wish them to become Buddhas. So that's the counter agent. So this basis serves as the basis for us to acknowledge our downfalls and the basis from which we normally commit non-virtue and non-virtue. So here, first, the power of the basis. We go for refuge to the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and we generate bodhicitta. So the second opponent, Napa Sunji Jimbito, the Donagare, Napa Sunji Jimbito, the Nga Migewa Sasun Gapio Madit Sun, Napa Sun Jimbito.
I was saying, but Gawat was Druina and Deba, Deba Nodoro,
and the
dogs. What this is.
Then the Sunjin Bido, Nga Gewa, Migewa Sasa, Yabi Omari, Nga, the Sam Chipa Yomari, Yomaribe.
Gwasa Bina, Dibal Nunuro, Dibal Sunjimbo.
So the power of regret is also the power of the uprooting force. So the uprooting force is the virtue. I see, I understand now. So what is the uprooting force? The uprooting force is the virtue which serves as an opponent to the non-virtue. So the power of regret now is the uprooting force. So it's, the uprooting force is an attitude of remorse. So that second one we always just call remorse, but it's actually the uprooting force, which is virtue, which the gewa sa, the migewa nu.
Okay,
sunjimba. So it uproots it. The virtue is what uproots the non-virtue. So the power of regret here it is the second, the uprooting force. Then that's la dobi do primache. So then the force of turning back from misdeeds, which we also translate usually as the power of commitment. So now we're asserting, I won't commit this misdeed again. And in commentaries, we'll see that if it's something we know we do over and over again, and it isn't realistic to say that we won't ever commit this misdeed again, make a commitment for the period of time that we feel is realistic so that we actually can complete and accomplish that goal that we've committed to. So make it for a period of time that's realistic. If we know that we just gossip constantly, I won't gossip for an hour, for 5 hours, for a day, for 2 days, for a week, but just try to make sure it's something realistic so that then you aren't falling back on what you've committed to do. And now you've created even more turmoil because you were just gossiping before. Now you said you weren't going to gossip and now you're gossiping on top of a commitment to not gossip. So it's important to try to make it contained if you can. So you're committing to not engage in that again. So first, you have a power of basis of generating, going for refuge and generating bodhicitta. Next, you have the power of regret, which is also the uprooting force, regretting having done something negative. So this regret actually sets you up for this resolve to not commit it again. So this resolve to not do it again, to make a commitment for some period of time to turn back from that misdeed. And then the final part is the antidotal force, the nipa kundajupito donagare, the gariyashu. Nipa kundajupito.
Gawasan diva nyonoro.
Then
diva sunjiva.
Then the gewasa vigare, domnigon, tonsha gare. So, and then the final is the power of antidote. And the power of antidote here is applying some specific opponent, some practice, some virtue that we're engaging in. So Rinpoche is saying it's just accumulating a virtue as an antidote. So various practices can be done. Meditation upon emptiness is an antidote. Engaging in the 35 Buddhas of confession. The Sutra of the Three Heaps. And I just want to clarify, the three heaps are the confession, the rejoicing, and the dedication. I think that I'm not sure. I just have a memory, I thought a week or so ago, I may have mistranslated that. So if I did, we clarified it today. So those three heaps, that sutra can be recited. Any virtue that one engages in can be applied at this specific section of the power of antidote. So this practice is done. Today I've engaged in lying. So I acknowledge I've lied to a sentient being. I had a commitment to not lie as part of the five layperson's vows. So I've done something wrong in relation to a sentient being and to my vows as a Buddhist, to the jewels. And now I acknowledge to these three jewels that I've done this thing wrong and I regret having done it. I commit to not do it again. And I apply this virtuous practice against that negativity I've committed. So that's how you would apply these four opponent powers to negativity that you've created specifically or generally since beginningless time. So you can really cover a lot of bases with this. And if we do it over and over again, we leave these positive imprints for the things that aren't concordant with suffering. We have that which is concordant with happiness and an antidote to that which gives rise to suffering. So you see in commentaries about the 35 Buddhas of Confession, the Sutras of the Three Heaps, when you just by reciting the prayer to Buddha Shakyamuni, by paying homage, by reciting that line to Shakyamuni and the 35 Buddhas, many eons of non-virtue are purified. So just by saying the line to the founder, Bhagavan Tathagata Arhat, perfectly completed Buddha, glorious conqueror, Buddha Shakyamuni, I prostrate. Just by saying that alone purifies tens of tens of thousands of eons of non-virtue. Kalpa tri ji san san tri ni. So there's so many different eons that are purified, different amounts of eons that are purified with the different Buddha's names. All right, so does anybody have any questions?
I have a question.
Sunjin bido gewasa.
Sunjin bido gewasa.
Who's really asking the question?
The uprooting force, because it, what uproots the negativity, the virtue is what uproots it. And then we find in the commentary that it's referring to regret. What is it that's uprooting it, wishing to have not done something? So we need these positive predispositions to engage in the opposite. So if we've killed, we regret it, we need the positive predisposition for the ethics which abandons killing. Oh, there's the dog, he said.
Not what you do.
He said, we have four dogs.
I have one and two horses. Do horses count?
Yeah. How many horses?
Two.
Two horses.
Yeah.
The corgi's looking for you. He's going around the house looking for you. So we're in Pennsylvania. So saying hello from Pennsylvania.
Konso Pennsylvania degudu. Brian. Sue. Coleman. Ted.
Yeah.
Oh, Dan. Guitar, Dan.
Yeah.
The corn part. Dan say
the.
So does anybody have any question or anything? Stasha has a question.
Tuchena Rinpoche, thank you for teaching. My question is about calm abiding and special insight. And in trying to think about emptiness, I can understand theoretically analytical meditation on emptiness, but I'm still having trouble single-pointedly focusing on emptiness, because to me it's more of like a concept than something you look at. Any advice?
The Rinpoche, the Kongchewa, Shine Dan Hua Tongchewa, the Doni Dobi Shera Mipa, the Ne Jegon Jugon, the Mipa Chi, the Kona Sano Dan Kalikabudu, Gangisine Kong, the Jugon Jegon, then Desi Lapja Yuribe. Jagon, that's the get your shit.
Jagon is that in the Jesus Santan, Santa, the Chibulo.
Then con this said, con the Tony Jagon, con le lavudu. Then Jugon Kalikabudu. Then
Chibu, I should have Jusen la Dene.
Lesser. Then eh, Jutsen la Dene, Jagon la Dene, Jugon younger bed. The Jugon Mipach. Then Tony Jugon Kandre, Gang and Senna, the Jagon Sano Dango, Tony, Dendel Yimbeche, Demma Drute, Dendel Yimbeche. Then a Jugon, the Mipa, Tombani, Sano Dang Mare, then a garden.
Wireless electronics, I'm happy.
Then the Jugon.
A certain laptop or just laptop in general?
Okay, so I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. So very clear on what we're talking about. So when we're looking at the union of calm abiding and special insight, so when we look at two kinds of meditation, single-pointed meditation and analytical meditation, so what I said to Rinpoche is that when an analytical meditation comes easier when it comes to meditation on emptiness, because you have you know, the subject, the thesis, and then the reasons, and you have correct signs to kind of prove your thesis that things are not truly established. They're empty. So he said that that's actually the best meditation to do in relation to emptiness, and that causes the actual generation of that single pointed focus on emptiness. So I said, what is single pointed concentration on emptiness? He said, it's when you're not thinking about anything else but emptiness, and you're not using signs and reasoning to establish that as the base, as the object of observation. So it sounds very intangible. It sounds like something that the mikpa, the jugong, toni, mipa garde. Then the chu tamche tomba the gayu rimiche, the gayu chuchen, demba majute dendel yimbiche, the tombani. Then the jugong, the tombani, garigong. So we were talking about the emptiness of this cup. So when we say this cup is empty because it's not truly established because it dependently originates. This cup is empty. It's not truly established. It dependently originates. So when we say this about this cup, this analysis is analytical meditation. The cup's emptiness, that object of observation, just the cup's emptiness, and the focus on its emptiness itself without wavering to any object of observation other than that, is the single-pointed concentration using the cup's emptiness as its object of observation. So the cup's emptiness in this case is the object of observation of the single-pointed concentration, but you aren't using any signs or reasoning to establish it. You've already done so, and you've established it through inference in such a way that then you can single-pointedly concentrate on its essence somehow, its emptiness. I don't know how to put it in other words than that. Then hey, jugong jegong yin guata. Tony jugong Tony jugong jegong yin guo.
Ni kagaro. Jusel ran dan sal jusel ten sal damada.
So I said, do you need this analytical, does it necessary to have analysis to have single pointed? And he said, well, they're different. They're completely different. You know, you don't have analysis to have single pointed, and you have analysis to have analysis. So that's completely different, he said, you know, so you can't say you have analysis to have non-analysis, because it's the absence of the analysis. So the rimbo gu, the jepa sema, musun sema, the doni dopi shira guna, then the shine dan laton guna, jegon yin gua ta. Laton jegon. So to get a union of calm abiding and special insight, you have to have the special insight, which is analysis. But it's a union here somehow. It's not a cause and effect. When we look at what happens at the path of preparation, when we have an inferential valid cognition of emptiness, there's a union of this, but it's not like one is causing the other. It's uniting these two things somehow into this ability to focus on its emptiness, on all phenomena's emptiness, on the cup's emptiness. That emptiness itself becomes a subject. Then the mipa, the jugong mipa, the gayu, the tomba ni kona.
What the hell?
Okay, yeah, that's good. We're good.
Okay, I'll try it. more. I'm sorry. One more, just a little follow-up. So I was thinking about the image of a Buddha and how you can focal, you know, use that as your focal object of meditation. And then analyze the perfect qualities and then try and, you know, use that as similar to emptiness. And because I think of emptiness as kind of like infinite division, I didn't really know what to focally focus on. But I'll try to use what Rinpoche said in the future. Thank you, Rinpoche.
I was just explaining your meditation using Shakyamuni as the single object of observation for single pointed, and then looking at Shakyamuni's emptiness and Shakyamuni's dependent origination. And he said, that's good. That's a good way to meditate.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff, I have a question. So when you guys are talking about the four opponent powers,
hey,
could you tell?
Coleman, hold on. We got a whole bunch of other people in line. Just a second.
Oh, sorry. So
Adrian, unmute yourself and go.
Actually, Charlene. Thanks for teaching, Rinpoche and Jeff, Tashi Dilek. And my question was, I understand, you know, offenses towards sentient beings, killing them or wishing to kill them, or but what are some examples of offenses against the Sangha and the Buddha and the Dharma?
The Rinpoche, the Semchen Nuna, the Megewa Sa, the Salodan Le Labudu, Suchupa, Gomogoa. Then the Gonchu Sung, the Megewa Sa Khandre. So, for instance, if you were to think that there is no such thing as the Buddha, this is wrong view. So this is something committed in relation to the three jewels. So I said something in relation to the Buddha, or drawing blood from a Buddha, or then the Chu, going to the Megewa Kandresa. Also, you say that the Dharma jewel doesn't exist, that the Dharma jewel is wrong, some sort of wrong view. In the Sangha jewel, the Gendun Gonchu, the Gendun Gomogo, got it. So similar to the Sangha jewel, or stealing from the Sangha, things like this.
Okay, thank you.
The Adrian Jaman.
Okay, now Dan, go ahead.
Okay, Duchiche Rinpoche, thank you so much for teaching, and thank you, Jeff. My question has to do with understanding more about the nature of emptiness. It's described in teachings that emptiness in practice can be recognized as being in union with bliss, the union of bliss and emptiness. And then also within our own minds, there's also this recognition that we have this innate goodness, which is the nature of our Buddha nature, or our innate goodness. So in the context of the practice of realizing emptiness, is there a notion that emptiness in its nature is virtuous? Or is it the case that emptiness in its nature is neutral?
Rinpoche, the Tomba Ni Chu Chen, Gewa Yimba Tao.
Tomba Ni Tabaro.
So no, emptiness isn't virtue. So I asked specifically in a debate format, emptiness is not virtue because emptiness is permanent. Virtue is impermanent. So if it's virtue, it's necessarily impermanent, and emptiness is permanent. But is meditation on emptiness virtue? That's a different question, right? So the Doni Gona Gewa Yin. So meditation on emptiness is virtue. So what was the connection to our Buddha nature? I want to try to ask this in a full way. So the answer is that emptiness isn't virtue. There's no intention. It's not impermanent. It's permanent. But meditation on the subject of emptiness is virtue, because it's meditating on correct view, which is the opposite of wrong view. So it's the ethics which abandons the non-virtue of wrong view. If we look at the ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities. So when we meditate on emptiness, we're abandoning wrong view. So we're engaging in ethical behavior. So in a way, I see emptiness is virtuous in a way, but it in and of itself, it's just the nature of things. It's just how things are. They are empty. We are empty. The cup is empty. This table is empty. Why? Because it dependently originates.
So it's more of a fact. It's more scientific. It's not necessarily having to do with a moral quality or some emotional characteristic of some kind or virtue.
Yes, Rinpoche.
So
if you would say, I see. It's just the way that I said it. I see what I did. I just said something in Tibetan that it said, is it only emptiness that's impermanent? The way I said it was just incorrect. So he said, then you can't say that I just said something wrong. So he's saying, then there would be nothing else permanent if you said it's only emptiness that's permanent. I said something wrong in Tibetan. So I apologize.
My final question would be then, in the context of the practice of emptiness, would you say that it is a natural kind of outcome of the practice of emptiness that we naturally become more virtuous, more open-hearted, more loving, because we are recognizing the emptiness of phenomena, and we have less grasping, we have less self-cherishing. So would you say that emptiness itself is not virtuous, but the practice of realizing emptiness causes us to become more virtuous?
If you only meditated upon emptiness itself, I don't know. If that's all you did, if you knew nothing else about anything except things are not truly established because they dependently originate, that scientific fact, if you knew nothing else but that, would that make you become more virtuous or more compassionate? I don't know. Rinpoche, the tomba ni kona gonjana, the tomba ni
kona tomba ni lana, tomba ni kona gona, jenda mogomba gona gona.
Then tomba ni kona gonjana, semche yongrebe, kongi triwa.
Tomba ni kona gona, semche gongoba.
So if you meditate only on emptiness, will that generate bodhicitta? I asked him. He said, no, because you didn't meditate on bodhicitta. So it requires, you know, the two wings, the method and wisdom, in order to kind of unite. But of course, wouldn't emptiness, if you have compassion, help fuel it? If you know everyone's so lost, right? Like if you understand that the reasoning, and then you start to grasp less at yourself, so then you're now other cherishing more. So it's connected, but it says the longare, the shanchu jesen, the kalpa mambo gonjana, tarpa jogamara ganishan, doni dobi shira yomare. There's some quote, you can meditate for eons on the mind that aspires to enlightenment, but you'll never sever the roots of cyclic existence if you haven't meditated on wisdom as well. So you need both.
Thank you.
Call Mingo.
Okay, hi guys. So I had two questions. I know Rinpoche's told this story a lot, but with the four opponent powers, that would apply to Ungramala, right? The four destroyer?
LOA.
I thought Ungramala like killed like 199 people.
Or 999, and when he got to the 1,000th, he saw the Buddha or something.
Yeah, and then he must have applied the four opponent powers to get in that line, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then my other question was, is emptiness like when someone like sees emptiness or perceives emptiness, is that
somebody else? But I can't.
Like the same. Like if you realize emptiness and I realize emptiness, is it going to be the same type of experience or is it unique?
The gom chipa, the doni dopi shira, the gom, the nandrula, the chipa, same. It's the same emptiness, so it's the same experience.
Same nirvana too, yeah?
Your own nirvana, your own cessation.
Yeah, is it the same for you and myself?
The cessation would be the same, the lack of suffering, but the place itself, do you mean? Like the
feeling or like, you know, like Christians believe that if you go to heaven, you know, it's all the same for them, you know what I mean? But I'm just thinking.
Chiran Rinpoche, the Chiran Yanan Le Depa, the La Yanan Le Depa Chipa, Sacha Chipa. I don't know. I think Rinpoche is a little tired today. Rinpoche.
All right, thanks.
The Chiran, the Yanan Le Depa, the La Yanan Le Depa, the Sacha Yin, the Goden, the Chipa. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Can Rinpoche answer another question?
Yeah, I don't know. Right now, I have like a million things I'm thinking. I need to check his sugar. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really quick, to Jeche, Rinpoche, and Jeff.
We had Sampa for breakfast, which is we have the same thing every day: lunch and breakfast, within like three or four variables. Today we threw a different variable in, so we don't ever have Sampa over here. So we had some Sampa. Because he had a Tibetan come visit with his son yesterday. So I don't know. That's all.
Great. Well, we could try it. And I think it's a follow-up on Stasha's question. In the meditation of working on the union of form or one of the skandhas and emptiness, can you call on Prajnaparamita as a deity and use the Prajnaparamita mantra to help realize or come closer to the realization?
So if you are say it again one more time.
In addition to the analytical meditation on emptiness, can you supplement that with meditating on Prajnaparamita as the deity and using the mantra?
Rinpoche, The Parshin, Hla, Yirbe.
Parshin. Parshin, Hla,
then the Zom, so I'm not familiar with the Prajnaparamita deity myself. So the Rinpoche, the Prajnaparamita, the Hla, Yomare.
Yomare.
The Doyen. So the perfection of wisdom, Prajnaparamita, I've seen this reference that you're speaking of, so I'm not saying, I'm just not familiar with it. And when I asked Rinpoche if there's a deity or a god, the perfection of wisdom, a god, he was not saying that he's familiar with that. What in which mantra?
Our mantra from the Heart Sutra. The Heart Sutra.
I see. Yeah, that mantra itself is considered not a tantric mantra in the sense. The Sherab Nimpo, Rinpoche. So this is a good discussion to have for a class. The Rinpoche, Sherab Nimpo, this Zonga, the La Zonga Yomare. Then they go they don't go. So that is just a summarization, that the mantra within the Heart Sutra is a summary of the five paths, five Mahayana paths, the path of accumulation, the path of preparation, path of seeing, the path of meditation, and the path of no more learning. So it's basically that mantra is the entire Heart Sutra contained in a mantra. So it's not necessarily a deity's mantra. It's the Heart Sutra's mantra, if you will. So yeah, but we'll go further into this another time. I'll do some research and see if like I can find a Tibetan word for Lobsang La. Are you around? Are you there? No? Okay. I thought maybe I could call a friend.
Lobsang is in DNKL today.
Oh, okay, cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Maybe we'll close, do the concluding prayers. Do we have more questions? Rinpoche, then the Sherab Nyingpo, Tehanda Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangate Bodhisoha, Sonam Sagadu, Natsu the Doni Dopi Shera Pentogudu J Natsu the Sonan Sana Doni Selbo Chagarabe. Then Shela Garde Gangisina de So it's not like a blessing. I said, so if you recite this mantra of the Heart Sutra, right, is it some blessing that takes place? He said, no, you're thinking about the meaning contained in the summary. And he said, that's what makes it clear to understand emptiness and makes you, because you've summarized the whole Heart Sutra in one mantra, which is about the emptiness throughout an understanding that one goes through these five paths. The understanding of emptiness that one goes through and the purifications of the obstacles, afflictive obstructions and obstructions to omniscience through these five paths. So that's where it's the accumulation of the merit and the accumulation of the imprints of correct view that are making it so more understanding opens up, as opposed to a deity giving a blessing. Okay, so we'll do the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, in particular for the essential teachings, Venerable Lozan Drapa, to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero made Jushri and likewise Sumatra Bhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness, all powerful Avalokiteshvara, Tenzin Gyatso-mi, stayed until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Genser Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Rimchi Gutsi Shabi Denonam. So we will see you all.